it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat got him up. A slam. McClaren inside Crane, 1-2, he did it, he did it! Steamboat Mike Russell, and Blair has done it, Blair has done it!
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, what's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, as well as on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back. Guaranteed on the program tonight, we'll hear from Malika Andrews, who covers the NBA and the Bulls for ESPN.com. We'll hear from her coming up at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000, around 7:35. It's the Bears and the Jets. Anthony Becht, friend of the program, covers the Jets, and we'll get his thoughts coming up at 8:10. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. And, of course, if it's Thursday, you know what we do, right?
The throwback. Let's go back.
Throwback Thursday, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll have Throwback Thursday for you 2 hours from now. And Ryan Harris, one of the veteran voices of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the color analyst, will be with us. He's got a new book out, by the way. We're going to hear from Ryan Harris coming up at 9:35 as the Irish get ready to take on Navy. And you can hear that game Saturday night right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. I'll get his thoughts about, you know, say, for instance, Notre Dame trips up and they lose a game. If Notre Dame is a one-loss team at the end of the regular season, are they still worthy of being in the Final Four? Based on their strength of schedule, based on what they've done, are they in that mix? So we'll talk to him about that and just how the ebb and flow of the Notre Dame season is gone. We'll talk to him coming up at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000. And plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN. Hope that you had a great Thursday. Hope that you have a great Thursday night as we keep you company until 10 o'clock. To hand it over to Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons right here on ESPN 1000. So the Bears are going to beat the Jets on Sunday. That's going to happen. The Bears are going to win Sunday. But in order for them to win on Sunday, there's five things that the Bears have to do. It might be the same five that you're thinking of based on how the Bears played against the New England Patriots. But there are five things that I want the Bears to do. Number one, it starts with the defense. The defense has to be able to get to Sam Darnold. Got to get to the quarterback. It is just sort of head-scratching to me that the Bears have not been able to get to the quarterback like they should the last couple of games. It's one thing not to get to Tom Brady because of that iron gate in front of him, the offensive line. It's another thing to not get to Brock Osweiler in the Miami game. Don't know how that happened, but it didn't happen the last couple of games. It makes you wonder, over the last couple of games, is the defense just predicated on what Khalil Mack does? And I'm here to tell you that's not the case. Just because Khalil Mack is requiring a double team does not necessarily mean that others can't step to the forefront. In the games that the Bears have played, outside of the Tampa game, the defense, whether it's a win or a loss, has really been able to be in the spotlight. And I think that Khalil Mack clearly is not 100%. We're going to hear from Matt Nagy in just a moment, the head coach for the Bears. He's not 100%. Doesn't mean, though, that the Bears' defense just shuts it down. Because others have to be able to step up in order for this to work. Khalil Mack at 100% clearly is a force to be reckoned with. But there are other players on this Bears defense that should be able to do what they need to do defensively. Matt Nagy, the head coach for the Bears, had a number of things they talked about. One of the questions that was posed to him in his press conference today, you can see the entire press conference on my Twitter, twitter.com/tweetjhood. I got it from the Bears. I just retweeted it. Just bloop right there. I retweet so everyone can hear in its entirety, in context, what Nagy had to say. Are you concerned about the defense?
You get concerned, but it's not a panic. Okay, there's a concern because it's just showing. You know, I think more so than anything, it's been our tackling, especially 2 weeks ago in Miami, and there was a few this past game. But as long as you communicate with your coaches and your players on what your mission is and how can you get better, and you're real and you're honest, and everybody has a self-awareness of how they can improve themselves, then it'll turn around. And we got guys that care about each other and about themselves, and they want to fix it. And so until they fix it, it's going to be talked about.
On our Bear Down Monday program, you can go back in the archives and find that on the Under the Hood podcast. I talked on Monday about the 3-3-5 that was implemented by Vic Fangio on the defense, because when Sony Michel, the running back for the Patriots, went out, the Bears still were not necessarily aggressive enough defensively. They were not rushing the passer. It is Tom Brady. I understand that, but he's human just like anybody else. Sometimes he plays superhuman, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you drop back Khalil Mack, an injured Khalil Mack. You don't drop back certain players like a Leonard Floyd in coverage just because. I just think more aggressiveness, more pressures could have really helped the Bears defense, but that didn't really work in the Bears' favor. So Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator for the Bears, spoke to the press today as well. So what was the plan against the Patriots?
Well, we had the plan to mix in some three-man rush to maximum drop because he likes to get the ball out quick, and try and intermix that in there with everything else that we did. You know, we rushed 3, 4, 5, even 6 a few times. So it was just part of the plan to mix it against a good quarterback.
Yeah, how'd that do?
Not too bad. I mean, obviously not good enough, but we didn't give up any big plays in it, and, you know, it could have been better.
Hmm. So Leonard Floyd is, again, we're talking about another defensive player, not 100%, but he's out there. Fangio thinks that he needs to play better, likes to see more from Leonard Floyd.
Well, he's just got to, you know, pass rush a little bit better. Again, he was affected by dropping some. You know, they're getting the ball out quick. The thing that happened in that game, too, that affected all the points you guys are making is we only had 1 3rd and 7 in the whole game. And the rest of them were 3rd and 1s and 2s primarily, and then 1 or 2 3rd and 3s. And the other 3rd and 6 we had was, you know, their last play, which they're trying to run the ball out. So we didn't get them in 3rd down in obvious pass situations.
So the thoughts there from Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, as we talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. JD also said Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com, was on with me. He was talking about how Fangio has full autonomy of the defense. Now, here's the thing. Does that work that way with the Rams, where McVay, the head coach, says whatever you want to do defensively, that's on you. I'm concerned about the offense. I just think the best coaches are not just aware that you have a defense if you're an offensive-minded coach, but also trying to find the schemes that work. I don't know. I like a head coach that can oversee everything and confident enough to be able to answer the questions about the issues with the defense without deferring. I don't like that. But this is the operation that Nagy's running. I prefer my head coach. Like, if you ask Bill Belichick, he's not going to give you much, but he knows what's happening on both sides of the football and willing to tell you, like, yes, I'm overseeing all of this, even though I have a coordinator in place. Mark Helfrich is the offensive coordinator, but Nagy's very open with how he sees the offense. Then say, no, I'm going to let Helfrich answer the questions about that because it's Nagy's offense. But it's interesting how Nagy, I remember Monday we were talking about this, and Nagy was telling the press, well, you know, I don't want to overstep because, you know, Vic has, I don't know. See, this is why coordinators get fired quickly, Because if you, like a Hugh Jackson from Cleveland is a perfect example, right? Hugh says, maybe I should be more involved in the offense. He was hands off of it. See how his team is performing? Cleveland's terrible. And now he suggested after the game, maybe I should be more involved in the offense. Well, as a head coach, shouldn't you be involved in all of it anyway? That's how the job is so hard. The job is hard is that it's not like I'm the head coach. I'm just here for the press conferences and the meals and the extra bonuses if we win. I'm in every meeting room, and I have a full understanding enough to be able to explain to you why our defense wasn't good, why our offense wasn't good, why our special teams wasn't good. But Nagy does it a different way. Like, no, this is Vic's thing. And JD was talking about that with me earlier.
I think he has given Vic Fangio the green light to do whatever he wants to do. I don't think Fangio's ever been happier in Chicago. Now, of course, he's not happy they've lost the last two games. The defense hasn't played as well as it has earlier in the year. But, I mean, he has complete autonomy to do whatever he wants to do. I think that's why Nagy said that. I don't think he was, like, passing the blame or ducking the question. I think he lets Fangio run the defense the way he sees fit. Really. I mean, Nagy's an offensive guy. And there's other areas of being a head coach you got to deal with. But he has never, ever made the, you know, accusation or proclamation that he was going to weigh in much defensively.
One other thing about the defense. You know, I guess I've been on the defense too long. Don't tune me up yet. Okay, well, I guess I've been on the defense a lot. We do have to move on. You're right. I'm still a key number one. It's gonna be a long sermon tonight. I guess I said I had five keys. I'm still on the defense. You got 11 minutes left in the segment. I'm still on the defense. Probably because I'm just disappointed in how they performed the last couple of games. That's probably why. That's why Davis tuned me up. He just move on to point number two. So I will do that. The other thing is you look at Matt Nagy, right? Matt Nagy is the head coach for this Bears team. And just like you see mistakes from the offense from time to time, I mean, that's going to happen in any NFL game. You're going to see maybe a quarterback not being able to connect to his receivers. There's an errant pass. There's a play that doesn't work. There's interceptions. I mean, we've seen this forever, right? Well, same thing with Matt Nagy as a first-year head coach. This is why I've always pounded the pulpit, I guess you can use that phrase, about having experience in the job. John Fox comes over and says, well, I guess John Fox is not the right guy, even though he's a coach with experience and it didn't work out. I just think this whole Bears thing has been a season in transition, a time for the Bears in transition. After Lovey, after Trestman, having John Fox in place, I just think this is all transition to where we are right now by having key free agents or a key trade and Khalil Mack. Having young players and you're trying to rebuild from that and trying to be a viable contender in the NFC North. But while this is happening, Matt Nagy is the head coach. He's a first-year coach. And so there's going to be some growing pains with him too. You know, he talked about how they have to be able to grow a finish mentality.
You got to win, but even when you win, you got to finish. And it's just you got to talk it. You got to make sure they understand what does that mean, finish. Finish is easy to say. But is that just in the game? Is that on Sunday when you start playing? You got to, okay, now I got to turn the finish button on. I got to try to finish. No, the finish button starts throughout the week. You got to practice and always finish in practice. You got to watch tape. And when you don't you know, half-ass it, watch it the whole way through and finish it. I mean, there's little things. And so it's got to be done in the preparation part, and that translates to the field. If you don't do it in preparation, it won't happen in the field. And so that's the communication part from me to the players, from me to myself, is we all got to have that finish mentality.
Don't have to. Well, I guess my point with Nagy is don't out-dumb the room. Just because the two quarterback system for a play is in the sheet, don't necessarily mean that you got to run it every week. You don't have to do the Daniels-Trubisky shell game. I think we know what's going to happen. You ain't going to trust Chase Daniels to throw a touchdown. But I know that there's a little mystery with that. So when you see that page, let's not do that page this week. How about just straight up and run the football? Or straight up just pass the football? How about not as much razzle-dazzle? You remember the Tampa game where he was just like a petulant child, Nagy? He's like, oh, man, we had a penalty on that play. We got to run that play. You don't have to run the play. Now, the play was successful enough to get a touchdown, but sometimes you can't keep going to the well for the same thing. So that's number two on Nagy. Don't outdone the room. Just let your players naturally have their ability out there to be able to flourish as a team. That's all. You don't have to razzle dazzle. You don't get style points. Just win the ball game against the Jets on Sunday. The running game is an issue.
More so of the scheme, yeah. Not so much play call. Well, the play calling is a part of it,
right?
Because if you're not in a flow as a play caller and you're just kind of bouncing around the smorgasbord of runs that you have, you don't want that. You want to be able to have a tight menu and you know, okay, you feel really good, so you can just have less to pick from and know that you're going to be good at it. Right now, I feel like schematically, we might have a little too much, and so that doesn't say what we're looking into scheme wise, what type of scheme. But I think if we just kind of hone it in and tighten it up a little bit, and whatever we decide that is, test it out and see. That's what it is, more so than the play calling is a part of it, but it's more so the scheme.
It's all you as the offense coordinator / head coach. Jordan Howard's not going to be here next year. I can already tell you that right now. I can just tell. The RPO system is more suited toward Tariq Cohen. I'm going to probably be wrong about this, but I'm just going to say it. I think you need to have a change of pace, and Betty Cunningham is not the change of pace. It's just not. Shout out to Howard Griffith as far as the fullback is concerned, but I'm just saying, like, for me, I prefer my thunder and lightning. Maybe your offense is not – maybe you have nothing in your playbook that says run between the tackles. I still believe that that is something you should have on your football team. That's just me. But I know that Tariq is going to be the guy. And I will tell you right now, at this point in time, as we sit here today, if Tariq Cohen is your future back, you have a problem. Because you need to be able to have both. I want him on the football team, but I want both. I think that's only fair. But it just seems like they're moving away from Jordan. Jordan, you don't catch the ball well enough, I guess, for the head coach. So Tariq's that guy, and we'll get to Jordan when we get to Jordan. I don't think that's right. You got to wait for it to be rainy and cold to use Jordan Howard between the tackles? Just me. The running game's got to get better. Connection to more than just Trubisky. I wanted to see more offense than just Trubisky running with his legs. We saw that, and we've seen that for years. And how many times have you seen a Bears game over the years where the quarterback looks down the field and all he sees is green grass? Like nobody's open, or you're not quick enough to be able to connect to your receiver, so you got to run. That don't impress me. Dan Fouts was talking about Fran Tarkenton as an example of that. Like, that's good for that time. Oh, if he was Cordell Stewart, what would they say? They say a number of things. But what they would say is that, wow, why is he running so much? How come he can't stay in the pocket? That's all right. So my point is that if he's meant to be able to get in behind center and be able to connect to receivers, the run seems like it's the last thing, but it seems like the first thing he's looking at because his receivers are not open quick enough. So I want to see more of a connection to the wide receivers for Trubisky. And, of course, special teams. I mean, that's – if you haven't seen bad special teams like this since 1987, where the Bears were able to surrender that kind of yardage and touchdowns, then maybe that was an anomaly. Maybe that's not going to happen again anytime soon, but that was bad to the point where you could see people asking for, you were looking for Dave Tobe, the old special teams coordinator under Lovie. They were looking for him because he had that unit right. He had his own team for special teams. Like, don't worry about the offense and defense. You're my special teams unit. That thing was tight. Dave Tobe had it right, but that was bad. That was bad on Sunday. Hopefully, there'll be something different from special teams where they're not going to be such an issue as they were last week. As we talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let me move on to something else. And we're going to hear from Malika Andrews coming up at 7:35. So the Bulls won their first game of the season yesterday against Charlotte. And even though Cam Payne shot from the moon, he had like 7 3-pointers. And the Bulls won the game by 2 points. It was thin, but they were able to win the game. And now we come to find out about the injury situation that's happening with this Bulls team. that not only is Chris Dunn out for a while, but now Bobby Portis is out as well. That is going to hurt. Not only hurts the Bulls, it hurts me because I had the Bulls going to the playoffs this year. That's why. I had the Bulls going to the playoffs. And so, you know, when I asked Will Perdue, I said, Will, you know, what do you think of the Bulls? And he said,
Will, tell us this. What stood out most about the Bulls season for you this year?
Well,
I don't want to have another one of those interviews with Will Perdue. I want him to be happy. I want him to be able to give us me more than that. That was after last year. I want him to be happy. I want him to give me a full sentence about the Bulls season. I don't want that kind of season, but it very well could be. A little glimpse into the Bulls locker room for a second. From Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic. After Saturday's loss against the Pistons, he always has his numbers of issues with the Bulls. He goes 1 through 18, 1 through 20. This is 1 through 17. I like the way this is written because there's point by point. It's bite size where you could see some of the things that he's seen and he puts in his column on theathletic.com. When it comes to Wendell Carter, he says, I did love that Carter felt like his day absolutely should have come against Detroit. I am human, Carter said. I would have loved to have been out there, but coach didn't put me out there, so I respect whatever he does. Carter added that I am here for my teammates, whoever is on the court. I feel like they are going to do their job to the best of their ability to win the game. We came out on the short end, but there was a lot of things that we did wrong. Without me out there, I feel like we just didn't talk and communicate enough on the defensive end. That's why we gave up the easy layup at the end. Ah, Wendell. Telling you the truth. Because you know what? He's right. You watch that game, he's absolutely right. We didn't talk enough because whether it's the high school level or the college level, one of the things you'll hear an assistant coach yell is, talk, talk, communicate on defense. You get that a lot. And he's a kid that's new to this league, used to it at Duke as a guy that was about communicating on defense. And he was watching from the bench, was not involved, watching from the bench. That's why we gave up the easy layup at the end, because we didn't communicate on defense. As honest as you'll get, the guy felt like he should have been out there. And I understand his point, because it's always a culture shock for young players, especially when they come from high profile blue blood programs, to come to a situation where it's a losing culture. It's tough. Ask all those Sixers players. They were just like, next club, next gym, next game, next club, next gym, next game, next club, and didn't matter if they won or lost. Did not matter. Ask Sacramento Kings players. Does not matter. Because you know what it is. And the Bulls are 1-3 right now. And they'll play Charlotte again tomorrow. But in that game against the Hornets the other night, and again, if it wasn't for the great shooting of all people, campaign, maybe the Bulls don't win that game. But you like the 7 threes at 21 points, Zach LaVine with 32. But this is going to be uphill climb without Chris Dunn there because, once again, we don't know what this quote-unquote core is because there is no Lauri Markkanen. There is no Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. And so now he's got to be able to pull Holiday up. He's got to be able to pull Wendell Carter up, Hutchinson up. It's gonna be tough, especially with the injuries. But one thing I want to point out, as Fred Hoiberg, by the way, talks about how he thought that Zach LaVine was in attack mode last night.
Zach was terrific again all night, and you know I love his attack, the way he's going after the rim and getting into the paint. 12 free throws again tonight. That was a little selfish to try to make that last free throw, and we told him to miss. Just kidding. But anyway, Zach was great defensively. I thought he really battled Kemba. You know, he stepped up to the challenge on that end. Kemba's, you know, playing at an all-star level right now, and Zach went out and really battled him. And then making that key defensive play to get us the ball on the last possession was huge.
I'm hearing something, and it's kind of a longer conversation, but we're going to hear from Malika Andrews coming up our next half hour, who covers the Bulls. I'm hearing that there's some question marks about Fred Hoiberg, whether or not he lasts the season. But in real time, you sign Zach LaVine, you sign Jabari Parker, and you spend some pretty good money on those two guys. You have injuries. So are you going to fire the coach because you don't have Dunn, you don't have Lauri Markkanen? Because this is what I'm hearing. Like, it may not be where Fred Hoiberg is going to last the season. So, but it's a weird scenario because it's the same thing as like a Scott Skiles. You want to fire him on the holidays? Fine. But who's out there that can make this group better? That's the thing. Who can elevate this group? Dwayne Casey's already with Detroit. So who do you have in mind now that can be able to elevate this group? That's the thing. This is going to be a tough one. We'll talk about the Bulls more in the NBA with Malik Andrews coming up at 7:35 here on ESPN 1000. Let me tell you something about Illinois Media School. So I want you to take a look at your life. And I want you to tell me, do you really think that you're going in the right direction? Like your job, your career, is it going in the right direction? Because maybe it's not going in the right direction. You want something new. Or maybe you just love sports and you love music and you figure, man, I want to be closer to that. I want to be able to talk sports. I want to be able to be involved with music and production for TV or radio. If your career or if your job's not going in the right direction, I want you to consider this number. It's 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700. That's the phone number for Illinois Media School in Lombard. Illinois Media School can help you find a job that you love. Think about this. They will help you with radio or TV broadcasting, YouTube content creator, drone operator, board operator, promotions director, social media manager, anything in media. And they offer financial aid for those who qualify. And you can graduate in 8 months. Here's what I want you to do. Just call the number, schedule a visit, see if it's for you. If it's not for you, it's not. But I think that once you're there, and if you love, again, you love music, you love production, you love sports, this is the place where you should be. Illinois Media School. If it's not for you, tell somebody else about it. 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700. Don't go to the internet and look it up and call from there because Google gets the credit. No, you just tell them I sent you. Jonathan Hood sent you. 630-916-1700. You love sports. You love music. You love behind the scenes and how those things work. Just schedule a visit at the Illinois Media School in Lombard and see if it's for you. 630-916-1700 is the telephone number for Illinois Media School out of Lombard. All right, coming up next, we'll hear from Malika Andrews, her thoughts about the Bulls and the NBA. Also, she has some thoughts. We're going to hear her thoughts about the Milwaukee Bucks. She was up there yesterday. The Bucks are 4-0. Man, fear the deer.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. You know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go. You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad that you're with us. We'll hear from Anthony Becht, who covers the Jets like a blanket. We'll get his thoughts as the Bears get ready to take on the Jets. We'll hear from Anthony coming up at 8:15. And don't forget Tales from the Hood in an hour from now right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Malika Andrews covers the Bulls and the NBA for ESPN.com. She joins us here on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. Hello, Malika.
Hello from chilly Minnesota. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It is chilly in Minnesota. You have been covering Milwaukee. I want to get there first before we talk about the Bulls because I heard the chants at the end of the Bucks game yesterday of 4-0, 4-0, which I've never heard before. Very odd. Someone picks up a chant of 4-0, but they are undefeated. Why have Fear the Deer been so successful so far this season?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, they're excited. It's the first time they've gotten off to this kind of start since the early 2000s. And I think that under Coach Bud's system, Giannis is thriving and the team is thriving. And so fans are kind of excited to see their success. It seems like, you know, kind of the one thing that Giannis specifically is still struggling to do is hit three-pointers. And that's something that he's kind of struggled with his whole career. But he's said, you know, I have the green light from Bud. I'm going to keep shooting. I'm going to keep working on that. But beyond that, beyond their kind of early woes from beyond the arc yesterday, they look just like a really good team that could kind of threaten that those upper teams in the East.
You're going to push this Giannis Antetokounmpo for MVP bandwagon. You're going to keep pushing it, aren't you? You're the only, like, you're like one of the few. You're going to keep pushing it. It's unbelievable.
I mean, I actually don't vote in the MVP in the MVP race, so I can only do so much in terms of talking about it. But I do think, you know, he has a really good case. Again, let's not like get too high on this horse just yet. We're only a couple of games into the season, but right now, I mean, he looks really good.
I agree. There's no doubt. As I told you last time we spoke, I said, I just want to know, does he, because it's one thing to get there. It's one thing to be considered,
sure,
but you have to have help along the way. You feel that this Bucks team has enough to be able to get Antetokounmpo in that stratosphere, because you can score 30 a night, Malika, but it doesn't mean that you can win. It also doesn't mean that you're MVP, but if your team wins, it certainly helps.
Right, I mean, you're looking at a Chris Middleton who's playing better than he has been. You're looking at Malcolm Brogdon, who's really been shooting the ball quite well. And then also, like I said last time, I mean, I hear you on you have to have a team around you that's good enough to get into that kind of, you know, high 40s, low 50s, 50 wins in order to be in that conversation of MVP. But I mean, again, I keep pointing to Russ on this, but he was sort of able to be the difference maker. And I think when you are the difference maker for your team, the difference between, you know, being a low 40s, high 30s win team and a high 40s, low 50s win team, and that is the difference that a player like Giannis makes, I don't think you necessarily need to be looking at having a second or a third all-star on your team for you to have a solid MVP case.
Malika Andrews covers the Bulls in the NBA for ESPN and ESPN 1000. She joins me, Jonathan Hood, Under the Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. By the way, I think every person, if you're going to go to the club, every person, whether you are male or female, needs to have a Dante DiVincenzo there as a hype person. I think that before you hit the dance floor, right, you need someone that's going to be able to dab on them or spin around. That guy, I mean, you have to admit, you got to have a DiVincenzo with you as part of the crew, right? The wild one, Tiffany Haddish of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, well, someone on the Bucks told me the other day, they said, you know, he's got some brother in him, and I can see that, you know? He definitely brings that sort of flavor.
I mean, what's he doing there? I mean, you would think that, like, Antetokounmpo's in the circle, right?
You can do something to get yourself entertained sometimes, you know? Like, that's you know... I admire his moves. I don't have them, so I admire his.
That bounce is tremendous. I mean,
you're jealous, huh?
I don't think I'd be on the dance floor, but I don't think I'd be doing a dance from like 2 years ago. But he brought the dab back, which is tremendous.
But he's trying to bring it back. He's trying to bring it back. Just like acid wash jeans made a comeback for a brief time, which they shouldn't have. He's trying to do that, you know?
Well,
recycle the old.
You can always
bring back the skinny jeans.
You always know what the date is in Milwaukee. You know, just check your calendar. The calendars in Milwaukee is about 1991. So this Bulls situation here, Malika, when I look at Bobby Portis and now Chris Dunn going out, this is not starting in the right direction for the Bulls because of injury. Let's start first with Bobby Portis. So with the Portis injury, who do you think will be able to get the minutes now that Portis is leaving behind?
I think that Jabari Parker kind of has is in the best position to take some of those minutes that are left vacant by Bobby Portis's injury. I mean, the Bulls have three power forwards and two of those power forwards are out injured. So by putting Jabari back into the lineup, you know, you're hoping that he would see some kind of early season minutes that would help him find a rhythm and a confidence that's kind of been missing when he was in the starting lineup early on in the preseason. You know, he's been playing well coming off the bench. He's been kind of providing a scoring burst that the Bulls have needed. And so without Bobby being on the floor, hopefully he can kind of, you know, find a little bit more of that rhythm. Where they might get into some trouble is defense. You know, Jabari's kind of struggled to find any sort of defensive rhythm, but hopefully getting him out there, getting him on the floor will work out some of those kinks. So by the time that Lowry is back and Bobby is back and Chris is back, they'll kind of be able to gel a little bit better.
You know, I know that the Portis move with him being out is going to hurt, but Chris Dunn also out with an injury is going to hurt. And it hurts me because that means we're going to see more campaign. Personally? Oh, God.
Does it hurt like your elbow or your knee or what's hurting
it hurts
on you?
So it hurts. It just hurts my soul that we're going to see more of campaign on the floor.
I'm give him a little bit of a break. He's so far stepped up. He had a career high the other night. He tied a franchise number of threes, I believe. So, I mean, what more can you ask for from him? I know you can't ask him to be Chris Dunn, but, you know, he's giving you the best version of campaign that he's got.
Yes. He's also given us the best version of Dante DiVincenzo. Stop dancing. Start playing.
What is with you? You're the stick to sports, stop dancing? I didn't even know that was an argument that people were making. This is you're out on a boat on your own.
No, you can dance. Just do something. How can you?
He is.
7 3-pointers is good. That's the best that I've ever seen him play. I'm just saying that you remember him at Oklahoma City, right? He's only on the roster, so Russ could dance with him.
Okay, and do you remember? I was going to say, but do you remember how good he was at that role? It was very impressive. And he is playing pretty decent basketball right now. I mean, again, we're talking about you can't really compare Cam and Chris. They're two very different players. But, right. You know, he's doing his part, at least in this past game, to contribute. But, I mean, on Monday, their next home game is going to be against the Golden State Warriors. Their game this weekend is against the Atlanta Hawks. Both of those teams have talented point guards specifically, that he's going to have to face off against.
What is your favorite NBA city?
NBA city? Well, that's hard because my favorite city in the United States is New York City, but the food at the Garden is not that good. So, you know, that's a hard decision. We'd have to break it down by category, where I want to go eat and where I want to go spend time. But spend time, New York, hands down.
Okay.
Hands down.
All right, then. What's the worst? How
about you? Oh, what's the worst? Oh, man. I mean, I'm strictly basing this off of...
Travel?
No. Why am I only thinking about the food? The food, my first thought is... it might be Oklahoma City, but it's just a food decision. I think I'm hungry. I think that's what's happening.
We have something in common. All we do is thinking about the food. What a surprise.
Yeah, well, in the spirit of Nick, always thinking about food. That's how I can contribute there.
Okay, that's what I want to know. All right, at least we know that. All right, New York, and then there's Oklahoma City. All right.
It's just... Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to plan a vacation to New York. I don't think I'd plan one to OKC, but there are lovely people in OKC. There are lovely things about this.
I'll let them know you said that.
Thank you.
Malika, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Hood. And I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Glad you're with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. Reminding you that coming up on Saturday, Chicago's college tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Oh, did you not know? Yes, we have a college football show on ESPN 1000. No one told you? I know, right? Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, and yours truly, we take care of your college football needs. Every Saturday, we'll be on from 12 to 2:30 right here on ESPN 1000. It's right before Georgia, Florida. Also, before Navy takes on Notre Dame, right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. So we'll be on 12 to 2:30 on Saturday. And Ryan Harris, by the way, the color analyst for the Irish, will be with us at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000. We'll preview Notre Dame, Navy, and the chances for Notre Dame to be in the Final Four. Things turned around after that Georgia loss. The whole thing just turned around. It started off well in the first three games, actually, because Wynn Bush was the quarterback. And then, all of a sudden, what you're seeing now in college football is everyone wants to match Alabama. Two quality quarterbacks if they can have it, right? And so Ian Book is the quarterback of record for the Irish, and boy, he's playing really well. The offense is flourishing. The defense is flying around doing well, too. So it's one of the better Notre Dame teams I've seen in a while under Brian Kelly, so pretty good. We'll have Anthony Becht on to preview the Jets and the Bears for us. He covers the Jets in that market, so we'll get a chance to talk to Anthony Kevin a little bit. The story from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN.com. Houston Rockets offer Wolves 4 first-round draft picks for Jimmy Butler. Put on the poll at ESPN 1000. Is Jimmy Butler worth 4 first-round draft picks? Yes or no? Think about that. 4 first-round draft picks. Now, it's interesting thing about the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets will tell you how smart they are. Just ask him, right? So smart that they felt like, yeah, you know what? Carmelo Anthony is going to get us close to a championship. And I know, especially nationally, when I do my NBA radio show, there's so many New York cats that love Carmelo Anthony. They can do no wrong. The best Carmelo Anthony is Olympic Carmelo Anthony, right? Braided Carmelo Anthony. That dude was terrific because he didn't need the ball to be able to flourish as a player or as a team.
Don't forget Lala Carmelo Anthony.
Of course, women weakens legs. That's why he's not as good a player. But anyway, so I look at this old buffoonism. Women weaken legs. Okay. But I just think that Jimmy Butler being on that Houston team, does that make them better? That doesn't get them closer. It gets them close to Golden State, but it doesn't help beat Golden State. Also, I'd like to see how Jimmy works, because if he's with that Houston team and knowing that it's James Harden's ball club, is he okay being the second and third banana? Clearly not even interested in being the third banana on that Minnesota team, because even though Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins is there, he thinks that Minnesota's his team. It's really not. You were traded there, sir. But he thinks it's his team. Doesn't work that way. So that ego of Jimmy Butler, Hollywood Jimmy, along with James Harden on that team, is that going to work? You only have one basketball, and there's a whole lot of shots between those two. And don't forget about Chris Paul, too, the receiver of the two-piece.
I go work like a doctor. When I rock the mic, you got to like
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.